I'm a fake, I'm a phony. If I smile in your face and say that you were the only, well, the fire, it burns a cup, and the devil, he is rough. Hell, he ain't shit. Do the harder stuff.
Welcome to the Dick Rodcast, ladies and gentlemen. This is a very special episode for me because I'm sitting here in the same room with Rick Dodd. How you doing, Rick?
Doing great, brother. Glad you're in the States.
It's nice to be here. It's a little cold, but, you know, nice to be here. We're recording on the first day of March, right? So you're headed into spring, and when I get back home, we'll be headed into autumn, which... yeah, I'm less excited about. So the reason this is special to me that we're in the same place, those who have listened to the other podcast would know that generally I'm in Melbourne, you're here. So it's nice to be on the same time zone, but man, it's nice to be in the same room as you.
Oh yeah, man. I love it. It's great. This has been going on a while. The Dick Rods, you know, 15 years. I was looking back through some pictures and shit, and it was like, we had our first show at Locals Only, and then we did a fair or like a art show up in Kendallville, Indiana, where we had to clean up our lyrics for the children.
We had to clean up the band name too.
They wanted to call us the Doctors.
Yeah, Rick Dodd and the DRs or Rick Dodd and the Doctors. But I remember at the end, Jed just going, "Thanks, we're Rick Dodd and the Dick Rods."
Yeah, like there was a the best part was my daughter got interviewed by like a newscast up there, and they said, "What are you here to see, my dad?" In his band, Rick Dodd and the Dick Rods. And they were like, ah. That's great.
I don't think I knew that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was Brittany. That's shit she does. That's great. Here's my dad, Rick Dodd, the Dick Rods.
And we were playing on the back of a flatbed truck, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that was the stage.
It was just a big flatbed trailer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was a fun festival. Joe Kazier had some part in organizing that, right?
He did. Joe Kazier had a big part in organizing that. And, the funny part is that's how the first album Tavern Song started. So if you remember, we played out on the street and then we had a gig inside Paul's Pub, which was, you know, a little bar up there. And we went into the bar and we played the true Dick Rod music. And Chad's dad was in there and he came outside and Chad's mom was walking in and he goes, "Don't go in there. They're playing Tavern Songs."
That's right. I think it was just you playing though.
Might have been.
I think you were Rick Dodd solo unleashed at that point, playing your tavern songs.
God only knows what comes out of my mouth. I don't even know half the time.
Tavern songs they are, though.
So, yeah.
So we're here today not to talk about one of the songs on Tavern Songs, but to talk about one of the songs on the new record.
Playing Hard to Get.
Playing Hard to Get. So this is the opening track of Playing Hard to Get, and it's called Harder Stuff.
Yes.
How did this song come to life?
Well, interestingly enough, as you know, I've always worked in the plumbing industry. There was somebody that I met in the plumbing industry, and the guy was a welder, and he just really struggled with alcoholism. I mean, young dude, a lot of talent. He would kind of fall off the wagon, then get back on the wagon, and he's kind of this circle thing. And I actually had him in, you know, one of my classes, because I used to be an instructor, and I remember just kind of talking to him and just trying to life coach him and just, you know, working with him a lot and just saying, "Man, you got to clean your act up." And I just remember one day we're sitting there talking and we were at this house that he was going to buy out in the country. And I said, "Man, you got to get your shit together. I mean, you got a lot of talent. You can make a lot of money. You're a fucking great welder. You can be a plumber." And he said, "You know, I know." He said, "It's just the harder stuff that gets me." And I go, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "I can handle everything else. I just can't handle the harder stuff." And he says, "One sip of the harder stuff and it's all done." So that just stuck with me.
Yeah.
I went home and I just kept thinking about him. And then somehow I found out he got let go. And then I think he started chasing the pipeline and he's out there somewhere. But yeah, he inspired the harder stuff. And interestingly enough, he had enough of a past that he had some other things happened. And, you know, he'd been arrested. He'd gotten in fights. He'd gotten a DUI. So the song though it comes across as being more autobiographical, it's more about this person. It's not about me.
Yeah, interesting. Did you make a conscious choice to write it in first person rather than to write it about?
I did.
You know, yeah.
I think only because the way the words flow, it kind of came out as if I'm going through all this, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm a fake because they don't know that I've got, you know, everybody knew it, but he thought he hit it well.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, he didn't. It's like, you know, you didn't hide it well, brother. Sorry.
Yeah.
I know you think you're doing a good job, but so, you know, if I smile on your face and say that you were the only, that's where, you know, it's kind of that's where the words kind of started.
Yeah. Okay.
And that song really kind of dumped out. I kind of had the foundation of what that song was going to be, but it wasn't until I picked up the guitar and strummed it. And, you know, the way I write is I just take a recorder and push record and just go. And then I clean stuff up afterwards because I just kind of go off the top of the head. Mm. A lot of that song was just right off the chrome, you know?
Yeah.
So it kind of almost wrote itself in a sense.
So is it, do you remember, like, was the first thing to come the Women, Beer, and Whiskey chorus bit, or is the first thing the first verse? Or?
The very first thing to come was, I'm a fake, I'm a phony.
Okay.
If I smile on your face, say that you were the only. And then I was trying to figure out at that point, you know, what would rhyme with harder stuff? And that's when it said, you know, the fire, it burns the cuff. Because if you think about it, you know, when you pick up a glass of bourbon, harder stuff, yeah, or whiskey, and you're picking it up, you know, the closest thing to your glass beside your fingers is usually, if you're wearing a long sleeve shirt, it's the cuff of your shirt.
Sure.
So the fire burns the cuff, and the devil, he is rough, but he ain't shit to the harder stuff.
So grabbing that shot is kind of just reaching down into hell a little bit,
yeah,
burning that cuff. I love that line. I like that visual.
Yeah. So that's kind of where that came from. And then I think from that point on, I kind of go back into my roots. You know, my roots are, you know, I grew up in more of a country scenario. You know, we had rodeoers in my family, and we had, you know, very blue collar type people. And, you know, so I was around a lot of like characters, you know, back in the day. And, you know, my brother-in-law had a fur buying business, and, you know, you'd see all kinds of just guys pulling up in these old beat up ass trucks that were rusted out, you know, and you could just kind of envision some guy fighting the bottle, but he's got women and guns and coke, you know? Yeah. So, yeah.
I feel like it speaks to that sort of, I don't know if dichotomy is even the right word, but just that we tend to have our work self and we've got our social self. So I think we can all kind of identify with that thing of like, you know me as the welder, you don't know me as the person that was standing up on the bar, you know, shouting at people with my shirt off and, you know.
For sure.
We might not all get the opportunity to cut that loose, but I think we all have that, this part of me is for this part of my life and this part of me is for this other part of my life. And if I can keep it between those lines, then I'll feel okay about it, you know. So like you said, if I think I'm fooling everybody,
right,
then I'm probably doing okay. Yeah.
When you're probably not fooling anybody.
Right, right. That's the other piece of that.
And I think that just kind of goes, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm a big proponent of the trades. You know, I'm a licensed plumber and I've been in the plumbing business. And then, you know, also, you know, my alter ego is that, you know, I've always been a writer. I've always written, whether it be little short skits, poems. I was a big poem writer. But I think in the trades or just whatever trade you're in, they've got maybe two or three personalities. They've got to go do a job, but then they come back and they fight demons. And there's a lot more of them out there than we all probably think. You know, I've had advice to young guys. It's like, you know, don't follow. And I'm not saying anything bad about anybody that's in my industry or in any other industry, but there are those out there who are fighting demons that are fighting the harder stuff. And it's like, don't follow them to the bar on Friday afternoon when you get paid, because you're going down a bad path.
Mm.
You know, don't be the guy jumping out of the car at the gas station, getting all the shit and spending all your money. That's just how they roll, you know? So Harder Stuff is one of those songs where this guy, even though he's had tons of talent and he probably could be pipe welding someplace, just couldn't fucking shake the bottle. And maybe he has today. I don't know whatever happened to him, but he inspired a classic song for the Dick Rods.
So he doesn't know he has a theme song out there.
No.
Like, interesting. You think if he heard the song, you think he'd think it was about him?
I don't think he would. Yeah. But I think he would identify with it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's one of the things I do try to do, other than there's a few that I'm working on right now. But I try to really make it as abstract as possible so anybody could kind of almost know somebody like that or could identify with that.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually knew a guy, and, you know, there's a part in that song that says, I got drunk with a loaded gun. I pulled the trigger just for fun, you know. You know there's that guy that's fucked up. That's, look at this, you know, hopefully somebody's going to get killed, you know, in the process.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, it's like the New Year's Eve, you know, people shooting guns in the air and then
exactly
not thinking about the what goes up must come down aspect of that, you know. There's so many great lines in this, and they're very direct, and they're very, like, simple in their language, like you say, you know.
Sure.
It's really identifiable. But it's also anthemic almost. Like, it sounds like an anthem kind of thing. And I think that's one of those things that you're really good at is, like, is it a cautionary tale, or is it an anthem, or is it someplace in between, you know, there? I wonder about what is the musical choice that you're making there. Did you think of this as sounding like an anthem?
I think maybe a little bit. I mean, I think it kind of came out that way. It's almost like, you know, not to romanticize the actions in the song. However, it is kind of like real life.
Yeah.
The real shit that happens. So yeah, it might be a little amped up for an anthem, you know. It's funny because that particular song at our last show that we just did, there was a guy that came to our show. He's a little bit of a drifter. He's kind of a wanderer, roamer. And, you know, he and I've had some pretty hard conversations. He said, I see myself in some of your songs you've written. And I've had that happen before. Like someone says, I identify with that. You know, that made me stop and go, shit.
Yeah.
But some guys look at that and think, fucking hell yeah, man. Woo. Let's rock and roll, man. This is what I'm about. And I'm not changing a bit, you know. You ain't that tough. I'll push you back, you know?
Yeah. And I think it can be the same person at different stages of life, or, you know, the person at 1 a.m. versus the person at 7 a.m.
Exactly.
You know, that, like, because, yeah, I mean, women, beer, whiskey, loaded guns and coke, driving around in a jacked up truck. I'm always living broke. That's romantic. That's, you know, like.
How could you go wrong with that?
Yeah, yeah.
Other than being broke.
Right, right. But
but you got the other stuff.
We romanticize being broke all the time, you know, like the freedom of, like, not having anybody to answer to and all of that. And then the excitement of, like, you put these ingredients together. You're making a volcano.
It's fine to be broke when you got those things going
on. Right, right. You know? Yeah. It's exciting. I'm sure.
Broke all day long. And I think I threw that broke in there just because that's kind of a running thread in anybody getting started in the world, or just I'm broke, you know, like I'm always broke, you know. And when you're in the trades and you're kind of that guy's broke because you went and blew all your fucking money on women, beer, booze, coke, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one of those things that it's timeless just because it's been around forever. But that story inspired me just to write that song because I think what really grabbed my attention was the way that he just said, I just can't fight the harder stuff. I think that's the structure, the base of the whole song. And the devil ain't shit. You know, everybody's like, oh, you better, you know, be scared of the devil, because it's like, well, the fucking devil ain't shit. These guys are getting fucking plastered on the harder stuff and getting arrested, thrown in jail, losing their jobs. I think there's a part in the song where he kicked off jobs, showed up too late, been caught drinking way too much.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just a lot to unpack sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
human nature.
And in a similar vein there, one of the lines that I love is that, like, I've been locked up. I've been sealed away for fighting in bars in another state.
Yeah.
In another state?
Yeah.
Kills me on that one. I'm just like, because it's...
Well, I can tell you where that came from, too.
Please do.
So I had a brother-in-law. My sister and him were married for 25 years. I was a little kid. And he would get arrested in another state. And he would get, you know, he'd do something. And he was a great guy as far as his heart, but he was fucking born in the wrong century. And I've got some songs coming up about him. But he was a cowboy, and he was just a fucking hardcore dude, and he had a drinking problem. And when he drank, he turned the world upside down. This guy would jump out of cars at fucking 50 mile an hour because he was hungry, you know, and go tumbling. And we'd always hear, he got arrested and he's in Ohio or he's in Montana. So when that came out, he popped in my head. It's like, getting thrown in jail in another state.
It's great because it does, like, it speaks to the cloudiness of the detail. You know, it's like we don't even know what state. It's just like, nah, I get arrested in another state.
In another state.
Happened again, you know, like, yeah.
Well, the funny thing is, and I'll share the name one day, but the same guy had five brothers, and they're all fucking roughneck rodeoers and cowboys and shit. And they just rode, you know, they'd travel around the country rodeoing back in the day. And one of his younger brothers was out in Montana fucking coming back from a rodeo. And it was like 2 a.m. or something. He was on some fucking like road that there was no cars at all. And he just goes through the stop sign and it's like fields out there. You know, it's just like open land. Cop car pulls up behind him and walks up to him and says, give me your, you know, hand me your license and registration. And so he does. And the cop walks back up to his car and says, is such and such your brother? And he's like, he put his head down. He's like, yes. And he goes, okay, well, I'm writing you a ticket. So he gets a ticket in another state because the fucking cop knew who his brother was because he'd fucking created so much shit out there. It's like just having the association of the last name got me a ticket. He's like, that fucker, you know. I always love that story.
That's great. God, I can't imagine having the energy to raise that much hell. I guess it's just an old man thing, but I'm just like, yeah, A, I'm not geared like that, but B, man, it just seems like work, you know?
It seems like a lot of work, yeah.
You're like celebrity level hellraiser there. It's a great song, and it is like, it's such a roll the windows down, sing along loud kind of a song. And I love that it is that. And also, it's like, it's not great. You know, this is not, we're not describing an ideal situation here, you know? But there's romance to the chaos, and there's just that exciting feeling to it.
Well, and I think there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of lessons to be learned in that song. You know, everything from being a fake and a phony, trying to hide your addiction, and then losing your friends and losing your girlfriend, and then being the crazy fucker that's pulling the gun out and shooting. I can say that my brother did that in a bar one time. He fucking pulled his gun out and shot it into the fucking ceiling.
Really?
And it was like, what the fuck, dude?
Right.
This is, we're not in the Wild West, you know? So... And I know he wouldn't care. I said this, but you know, it's like we played the 8 Second Saloon and he came to show up and they had to escort him out because he wasn't allowed in there. It's like, because he shot a fucking, because you pulled a gun and shot it through the ceiling. It's probably a reason.
Right.
You know,
they keep pretty good records on that sort of thing, I imagine.
Yeah. But you know, you think about that and then you just think about, you know, that song has a lot of shit in it. It says shit a lot, but it's like, that's the premise of the song. You know, the devil ain't shit. There's shit here on this earth that are fucking way more damaging. And then some people say, well, that is the devil.
Right.
That is the influence. And it's like, well, yeah, you know, but we all have free choice. And sometimes alcohol grabs you, grabs some people harder than others. And some people can wrangle it and some people can't. And the one thing about that song is, and I just, not to glamorize it, but it's pretty fucking outlaw and it's pretty badass. You know, when you think about it, this guy's just fucking, his life's running rough. He knows it. I'd give it all back.
Well, there's also, like that dude probably wasn't bored, you know, like say what you want. Yeah, that guy.
He probably got good sleep too.
Yeah.
Passed out.
And he's got stories. When you were coming up and started actually getting paid and having money in your pocket and everything, did you have anybody that was like, don't follow those guys to the bar? Or did you just...
No, that's why I actually did make the mistake of when I first got into the field, you know, and this is how I say it. Today's a little different than it was back in the day, but any construction that you get into, welding, plumbing, you know, HVAC, steelworker, anything, you are taking somebody and putting them into a prison yard. There are fucking characters and there are bad, and like, you're going to find more bad apples in those kind of environments than you would if you're working at the bank.
Yeah.
These guys are rough dudes. They're fucking hardcore dudes. And it's like, you got to be careful. So even when my own son-in-law, when I got him in the trade, I said, look, don't follow these guys' paths. Their paths, follow the guys who are neat, clean, care about their trucks, care about their job, go home to their wives every night. don't be these guys, because there's a whole bunch of them out there, and they're great people. I'm not saying anything, but they know who they are. We all do. And I was told, I went down that path. I'll never forget. I was welding, and I was working for a welding company, and it was my 21st birthday, and all these welders took me out, and I did, you know what a kamikaze is. I was like, fuck, I don't know. What's that? After I don't know how many of those, I don't even remember going home. And I started going out to the bars with all these guys, and I started spending my money, and I didn't have no money to spend back then. You know, I barely could pay rent. And a guy pulled me off site and said, you got to stop doing that shit. Ricky, you're gonna look like me one day. So I had somebody who did guide me.
Yeah.
Problem is, it's hardcore work. You come home tired, you get up early, and you're out the door at dark, and you're back in the house at dark, and the only thing to do is drink. And on the weekends, they cut loose, and that's when the darkness comes. And that's just what he couldn't handle that.
There's always that, there's nothing to do but drink around here, you know, kind
exactly.
of thing.
Yeah.
Like if you're, you know, working in the middle of nowhere or whatever.
In the middle of fucking Oklahoma or, you know, the prairies of Kansas City, and there's nothing to do but fucking pop a beer.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that you and I are having this podcast while we're drinking beers.
It is nice to have a beer with you.
It is.
It's, yeah.
So.
Well, it's better than 6 a.m.
It is.
For me, for sure.
So we've got a lot more things to come down the road, but, you know, it's nice to kind of dig into some of these songs that finally made it into the world, because the harder stuff, I think, for all the whole band is a fun one for us all to play.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just kind of, it's in kind of all of our souls a little bit.
Yeah,
so,
no,
I don't know. It's one of those songs that kind of wraps itself around you and you don't really miss your notes too often.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's such a fun, like the few times I've gotten to play it live, not even a few, probably a couple times I've gotten to play it live, you know, just when everybody's coming in on that chorus,
yep.
It's just so big and fun and
yep.
Yeah. Well, before I leave you, I do want to talk about this line because this is my favorite, I think, in the song is it's the evil sound of a lonely lush and the grind and squeal of a stripped out clutch. Well, that ain't shit to the harder stuff.
Mm.
It's so, I don't know. Can you tell me anything about writing that line, about what that means to you?
Well, the evil sound of a lonely lush is really kind of just whether you're driving home from a bar or you're in your own home and you're fucked up. And you might be one of those guys that rant and rave, or you might be one of those guys who really go down deep into your head and think, you know, what the fuck am I doing with my life? It's the evil sound of a lonely lush.
Mm.
And then the grind and squeal of a stripped out clutch is, it's a metaphor. It's either you're pulling out of a bar and you're trying to put your truck in gear, or that's your life. The grind and squeal of a stripped out clutch. It's like your life is just a fucking, you can't get it in gear.
Yeah.
Because the harder stuff.
That's great. It's really good. Well, it's a song, as you know, that I love, as I do many of yours, but this one has a very special place in my heart. And
I appreciate it.
Thank you for sitting down in person, having a beer with me and talking about it.
You don't know how happy I am. It's awesome, brother.
I think I do. All right. Well, I hope that you will join us next time for the Rick Dodd. Is it the Dick Rod cast, I think we're calling it?
We call it Dick Rod.
We might be. We'll have to check the records on that. All right. Well, until next time, thank you for joining us.
I'm a fake, I'm a phony. If I smile in your face and say that you were the only, well, the fire, it burns a cuff. Hell, the devil is rough. Hell, he ain't shit to the harder stuff. I've been locked up, I've been sealed away for fighting the bar in another state. Well, the DUI is terrified and it's got me down on my luck. You know that ain't shit to the harder stuff. Women, beer and whiskey, loaded guns and coke, driving around in a beat up truck, I'm always living broke. And I would give it all right back, my life is running rough. You know that ain't shit to the harder stuff. Well, I got drunk with a loaded gun and I pulled the trigger, you know, just for fun. I've been kicked off job, showed up too late, I've been caught drinking way too much. You know that ain't shit to the harder stuff. Well, I went crazy,
same. Hell, I lost my woman, and my friends the same. Well, it's the evil sound of a lonely lush and the grinding squeal of a stripped out clutch. It ain't shit to the harder stuff. Women, beer, and whiskey, loaded guns and coke. Driving around in a beat up truck, I'm always living broke. And I would give it all right back, my life is running rough. You know that ain't shit to the harder stuff. Whiskey home, a special place. It'll tear you down, you soon feel erased. Well, you can push me, man, I'll push you back. Let me tell you, son, you ain't tough. Hell, you ain't shit to the harder stuff. Women, beer, and whiskey, loaded guns and coke. Driving around in a jacked up truck, I'm always living broke. And I would give it all right back, my life is running rough. You know that ain't shit to the harder stuff. I'm a fake, I'm a phony. If I smile in your face and say that you were the only, and the fire it burns a cup, and the devil he is rough. Hell, he ain't shit to the harder stuff. He ain't shit to the harder stuff. I said he